This is Sheila Winstead speaking on behalf of Roseau County Historical Society. Last week I read about the Thunder family of Warroad from a thesis by Grace Landine in 1972. Today I'll continue reading from that document, this time about the era of the fur trading. In the early history of Minnesota, the Indians trapped beaver and other fur-bearing animals and sold them to the white men who traveled into Indian territory. These hardy men who dared to go into the wilderness in search of furs were known as the voyageurs. They paddled and portaged upstream to Lake of the Woods to spend the winter among the Indians. The voyageurs and the Indians were the working men of the fur trade. When the white men came, the Indian no longer hunted for fur alone, but for furs to be exchanged for the white man's goods. The area around Warroad made the fur trading industry thrive because of the woods, lakes, and rivers. It provided abundant pelts of fur-bearing animals. Tom Thunder was a lifelong trapper, hunter, and fur trader. Tom's first hunting experience began when he killed his first wolf with a bow and arrow. He doesn't remember just how old he was, but he does recall that the wolf was too heavy for him to carry home. Taking the strings off his bow, he tied the wolf's legs together so he could carry it around his neck. It was still too heavy to lift, so he dragged it nearly a mile to his home. When his mother saw him, she was more than surprised, but skinned it properly and prepared the fur for sale. Tom remembers that as a young boy, he did not live in a very well-built home. Their family traveled around the lake in the wintertime looking for furs. Their home often was no more than a simple bark wigwam built with 8 sticks and sewed securely together. They slept with fur underneath and a blanket of fur on top of them. Tom says they were never too cold and he does not remember being sick. Life was relatively simple and uncomplicated for Tom in the early trapping days. He could take a piece of pemmican for food and survive all day long traveling from place to place on his trap line. The pemmican was meat that had been dried, then pounded to almost a flour-like consistency, and then covered with melted fat to preserve it for long periods of time. When they trapped beaver, the traps were underwater near the beaver houses. Sometimes they were placed by the entrance to the beaver house, sometimes by the beaver slides, and often where there were fresh droppings. One day toward evening, when Tom found 4 beaver in his traps, he realized it was getting late. He skinned them out right at the location and used the thick fur pelts to keep himself warm for the night. Tom traveled long distances to check out his traps many times. One of the times he made this trip, Tom's father begged to go along. Tom told him he couldn't come along, it was too far and he was too old. His father insisted that he wanted one more chance to walk the trap line, and he promised to take his time. Unable to persuade his dad to stay at home, Tom gave up his trap line and some of his trapping gear that year. About 2 years of Tom's younger days were spent with an Indian whom Tom called Old Man Sandy. He has many vivid memories of this man, and it is from him that Tom learned some of the Chippewa folklore. Old Man Sandy was a medicine man, and Tom too was a medicine man in his own right. Once Old Man Sandy gave Tom some green powdered medicine. He told him it should be kept dry and away from too much air. Tom kept it in a pouch in his leather jacket. He made a hurried trip across the lake and left his medicine at home. When he got back, his mother had accidentally burned it. Tom said maybe he was not supposed to have it anymore. He never knew what it was or how it was made. The medicine man never gave away any of their secrets. Old Man Sandy was good at many things. He could trace someone's trail in the woods. He was clever at making canoes, and he was a good medicine man, according to Tom. Once when Tom was riding in a canoe with Old Man Sandy, he told Tom to meet him up ahead at the big jackpine and not to hurry. Old Man Sandy dived off from the canoe, swam to shore, and by the time Tom got to the tree by canoe, Old Man Sandy was there ahead of him. The amazing thing about it all was that his clothes were not wet, he was smoking his pipe, and the green powdered medicine was dry. Tom says Old Man Sandy used to call him Sonny. He bought a sheepline jacket and gave it to the old man, and he wore it all the time. He said that Old Man Sandy lived to be 119 years old. Since hunting was the chief means of livelihood for the Indians, they developed many tracking and hunting skills as well as special beliefs of their own. Tom's father showed him the hunting medicine, which had been handed down for many years. Tom had been out hunting and had caught a valuable fisher in a trap. The fisher got away, and all that was left in the trap were the three front toes. When Tom brought them home, his father put the three toes into his hunting bag and started chanting. He talked to the hunting bag, telling what had happened and that Tom wanted the fisher back. He chanted and sang that night. The next morning, he told Tom to go out and look in his trap. The fisher had come back to the trap. Tom knew it was the same animal because there were three toes missing from its front paw. Tom's father also told him that when a moose sleeps, he generally loses one hair. They would take this hair, open the hunting bag, and put it in. Then they would chant about this, and the next morning go out and get a moose. Bear would be hunted in the same manner. Tom was at one time employed by the Hudson Bay Company. He also worked as a fur buyer for Milton and Isidore Siegel and Warroad. He would carry money in a vest inside his jacket and set out to buy furs from other Indians. He traveled to Northwest Angle, Morrison, Kenora, and other parts of the Lake of the Woods. When the Siegels left Warroad, they wanted Tom to go along to help set up a chain store. He felt he had no education, so he didn't go. After Tom was married, they lived for a time at Middleborough, Manitoba, Canada, and at Reed River. Young Jim Thunder, present chief, 1972, has fond memories of the days spent at Reed River. He loved the wilderness and spent much of his time hunting and trapping with his father. When the family moved into Middleborough in 1932, they used a horse and travoy to haul their belongings. From Middleborough, the Thunder family moved to Warroad, which has been their home ever since. Thanks to Wild 102 for this time to tell our county stories.